You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290, 564-1290. Or you can reach Mark Schneidman, your local Coldwell Banker Realtor, after the program at 898-4242, 898-4242, and at radiorealestate.com.
You know, a while ago, Jean Graffy, former county supervisor, was on. We talked about when she was a city councilman. I'm going to call her a councilman. Back in the 70s in the city of Santa Barbara, they downzone properties. During the break, we were talking about Montecito.
Montecito they downzone. Had a major downzoning to make it less dense. Keep it that way.
Which would mortify you if you saved your life savings to buy a parcel that where you could build four units, and then suddenly you were told you could build two units. But that notwithstanding, that's what the trend is there. And then the Rodney Dangerfield of the county, Goleta.
The eastern Goleta Valley, they want to upzone and increase density.
Right? So it's a very, very interesting case. Now, the city of Santa Barbara.
Well, it's interesting in the current battle how the Board of Supervisors has taken Montecito out of the debate by giving them Article 4 of the ZORP and by exempting them from the recent decision to appeal permits. And I respect Montecito. They've fought very hard for the protection they have for their communities, and the rest of us would like to have it as well. I think there's a very inequitable situation going on between what Montecito has been given or fought for and gotten to protect their community and what we would like to have as well.
Do you know why?
Well,
They have more attorneys per acre than Goleta living in Montecito. What about NIMBYism? Since we're talking about this, you had mentioned you didn't think it was a pejorative.
NIMBYism is not a pejorative to me because I think you have to have vital neighborhoods and vitality in your neighborhoods in order to have a vital community. And people have to get involved in what's going on in their neighborhoods. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. If you're not going to look out for your neighborhood, who will?
Do you know what Mike Edwards from Venico likes to call Nolita?
No.
Santa Lita. Kind of combining. Okay. Sorry, Mike.
Pregnant pause.
The lead in on there was an article in the news press on this past Saturday quoting a big victory for your group, Citizens for Sensible Planning. By the way, do you have a simple website or something?
Yeah, it's Coalition for Sensible Planning, and our website is www.sbcsp.org, and that's for Santa Barbara Coalition for Sensible Planning. And people can go there and see what we're all about. They can sign up for our electronic newsletters, and if they believe in what we do in terms of providing citizen input for the future of the Goleta Valley, they can also donate money on our website.
So this was lauded as a victory that you received. You made some headway. What exactly was accomplished?
Well, Supervisor Rose was able to get the four out of the five herself and then three others for a total of 4/5 vote on the Board of Supervisors to allocate $43,000 from the recently repaid $8 million from the state for licensing fees to pay for a consultant to help us or to guide along our visioning process for the Goleta Valley. That's the first step in your community plan is visioning what you want your community to be over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So that allowed us the money to facilitate a good start toward updating our community plan.
Is there a date of a threat or some kind of due date that's going to happen? If you don't accomplish something by this date, then the city or the county or the state is going to force something upon the area.
Our county housing element, which needs to be certified by the state, and apparently it's 2 years behind in getting done. And you have there's also a state housing mandate, which mandates to counties how much housing they should build in 5-year increments. So there's the pressures for the county to comply with state requirements regarding the housing element and the state housing mandate.
Let's talk about the state housing mandate. What do you know about it? What do you think about it? Is it?
Well, I do not think the state should be involved in dictating to local governments how they should plan their communities. The best planning is local planning, and the state is trying to provide or dictate a one-size-fits-all planning policy for the state of California. And if you take a particularly like the south coast of Santa Barbara County, we have unique public health and safety issues that would render a lot of this dictating how many houses you should build is inapplicable. We're pinched at both ends by the Gaviota Tunnel and the Rincon to the south, and you know, we're susceptible to fires, earthquakes, mudslides, and a couple of weeks ago we had a tsunami warning. So if you build mandate growth to the point you can't provide the infrastructure to evacuate this area in the event of a natural disaster, you'll create a disaster within the disaster. So each county, each area has to look at itself individually and its unique needs and plan accordingly. And you can't do that if the state's telling you what you have to do.
What power do they wield and pressure can they apply?
Well, up until recently, there was no real bite to the enforcement for these things. Now they're trying to put some teeth into the enforcement. I believe there was a bill, AB 1333, which the governor signed that says if you do not rezone for your housing allocation for your 5-year period, you have to roll that over into the next 5-year period. It becomes cumulative. And I understand they're trying to put some financial penalties into all this. But up until now, there haven't been any.
What do you see as the future if, you know, we have the Board of Supervisors, a shift to the north and the south? How would your battle and concerns be altered if the county split, if the sphere of influence comes to Nolita from Santa Barbara, or if it comes from the city of Goleta? How would these things
affect you? I'm beginning to think the county split might be a good thing for the South County, that we have unique differences from the North County, and you can see it always in the battles on the Board of Supervisors. There always seems to be a North County battle, North County versus South County battle, and maybe a county split would be a good thing, and then we could deal with our issues the way we would like and in the same with them. And then maybe somewhere in between there would be no Barbara. I don't know.
Well, this $43,000 that you received and we'll be able to utilize for study, what's the time frame there?
There is a time frame that has been put forth by County Planning and Development that they would like to have our visioning process done, I think, by a year from December. We would hope we could do it sooner than that. By April, they would like to have parcels selected in the Goleta Valley for submission into the EIR for the housing element. But again, I mean, I was shocked by Lisa Plowman's comments in the paper Saturday that our visioning process was only about determining where we want more housing. That's not what a visioning process is. That's not what determining your community should be, is how much housing you're going to cram into it. So we found those comments shocking.
Yeah, my get into that other picture of this affordable housing, and are there plans on the board? Is it just for resale, or are they planning on building affordable rentals? Because this affordable housing on resale, to me, I find it's very
that's disturbing.
Bizarre. Yeah,
that's
very disturbing.
Really bizarre. They want to keep it. I haven't seen anything in terms of rental housing, and I'll tell you why. Because developers cannot make any money building subsidized rental housing. They have a model which they feel they could make money selling subsidized for sale housing, and that would be 3-story, 20 units per acre. And that's how this figure keeps coming about, that the state government wants to push this affordable housing issue. So the developers, they don't care whether they build market rate or affordable, as long as they can get the same return on investment. So they came up with a housing model or an economic model that they feel they can make money off of. And they have then turned to the state legislators and said, if you're going to make us build this affordable housing, zone to 20 units per acre so we can make money off it. And that's where this figure keeps coming from the CBIA, which is the California Building Industry Association, to the state government, and then back to counties. So it's all money driven.
I'd like to see more rental, because that would be in perpetuity, whereas these affordable housing units where people can buy in, it's so unfair. I mean, even if you don't want to say that you're a pure-driven capitalist, how someone could buy in to an affordable housing unit, buy it well below market, pay well below tax base for all these years, and then suddenly go ahead and resell it at market value X number of years from now, and then you've lost your affordable housing. And
well, what they're saying now is they want to put the new for sale stock in perpetuity. But that creates a different problem, because once somebody gets in there, they'll never be able to leave, because they will fall further and further behind the market, in that they'll be allowed a certain percentage of appreciation, a small percent. So they'll never be able to get out of there. So what good does it do if today's affordable housing becomes tomorrow's retirement housing for the same person? The purpose of entry-level housing is to create some flow-through in the market. You move in until you can afford to move up, you get out, and the next person comes in. But if you put these into perpetuity and you lock the person into that house because they can never escape it, they're an indentured servant to that house, what have you accomplished? And satisfied a very few who got in on the lottery at the beginning.
Right, the lucky people who, right. and the argument for this is that, well, you know, it's a hedge against inflation. They have security, and it's the, you know, the workforce housing and the firemen.
Essentially,
and the
what they're getting is
the
a rent. They're getting a rental unit with a few tax breaks.
But the problem is you can't design it for these people. You know, come out from L.A. or from out of the area and score. It's not as if you're really providing for the workforce and the critical, you know, because you can't discriminate, is my understanding. You can't withhold it from other people.
No, I mean, trying to it, and then you have to create the enforcement bureaucracy to try and deal with that. And so far, the enforcement bureaucracy in this county has been woefully inadequate. There's all kinds of fraud in these programs.
Yeah, it's really a really difficult situation. Well, just to wind down, what else is in the future? Elections. What are people's choices? How is this?
Well, we're waiting to see who's going to step forward and run for the second district supervisorial position. We don't know if Susan Rose is going to run again. There are a couple of people out there in the wings who have made noise that they want to step up if she steps down. So we're just waiting. But for, I think, the issue, or the three issues out in the Goleta Valley, will be zoning, zoning, and zoning. And the candidate that I feel will win the second district election will be the candidate that comes out in favor of not densifying the Goleta Valley, and the person that will stand up and fight for the citizens in the second district who do not want densification. And that's not only us. The citizens in the city portion of the second district, if you look at Samarkand and San Roque and the Las Positas Valley, they're all fighting the same things we are.
But as you said earlier, the shift in the supervisorial vote, irrespective of who wins in the second district, still might, you know, if it's 3-2,
We still need someone that will lobby for the citizens' best interest and not the special interest of the housing juggernaut. We're not sure that we've always had that.
Right, right. So overall, you've been involved with this for at least a year,
About two and a half. Since June of 2003.
Okay. Overall, in summation, do you feel like, you know, you've made... You've traveled an inch and you have a mile to go, or
I think we've made tremendous progress. The community became incensed about the proposal to put 1,200 units on the San Marcos Growers property at Hollister and Turnpike. That property has gone nowhere, so I believe we put a stop to that. And we'll fight to not put a stop to the rest of it, but at least have the community decide what should go out there rather than the housing juggernaut.
Well, it'll be interesting to see when we have Andy Caldwell on, mm-hmm. CoLab.
Well, I think
interesting to see what he's got
interesting
to say.
In two sentences in the paper, he made himself the enemy of every neighborhood in Santa Barbara County.
it's a pleasure seeing you.
Same here.
Gary Earle, Citizens for Sensible Planning.
It's Coalition for
Coalition.
Sensible
Coalition. Coalition. You know, I'll get it right. I used to call you Coalition for Sensible Housing, and their website is SBCSP. That's Santa Barbara Coalition Sensible Planning .org.
Thank you very much.
SBCSP.org. See you next time, Gary.
Thank
Mark
you.
Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com. You could listen to past broadcasts, search MLS listings throughout California, and visit me. Stay tuned. We're going to come back. We're going to try to get a developer on who's pouring concrete right now downtown Santa Barbara, Neil Ablett from Ablett's Dry Cleaners. He's sinking 40-foot caissons as we speak on a 20-foot parcel to build a 3-story home. We'll see if he has time to talk with us. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.